Hello, fishing fans. How you doing? Mike Bryant with you. You're listening to Fish Talk with Mike Bryant Fishing, a new podcast that we're going to be trying to do every Saturday. The episodes will be pre-recorded so that I can get out on the water and got to have my water time or I'm going to be banging my head. How many times have we been out there on the lake and wanted to bang our head on a tree or maybe the windshield of our bass boat or just beat ourselves in the head with a fishing rod until it breaks because we get frustrated while we're out there fishing. That's what this episode's about, fishing mentality. Fishing is a very mental thing. And my girlfriend, she's always telling me that I'm obsessed with fishing. I have fish brain. Well, maybe I do after 41 years of fishing and reading articles and researching, studying the bass, studying fish biology and countless articles and YouTube videos and seminars and whatnot, what have you, to learn more about my target species, which is the largemouth bass. I love those big, green, slimy, bucket-mouth behemoths. I mean, they are so fun. One of the most popular sport fish in the world, especially here in the United States. They're just amazing creatures, but I want to talk about the fishing mentality. A lot of times we are our own worst enemy out on the lake when we're out there trying to fish and enjoy ourselves and have fun. We overthink. For years and years and years, I have being guilty of it myself, thinking, you know, well, I've got to outthink the fish. I've got to outthink them. Truth of the matter is we're selling ourselves short as anglers and as human beings because our brain is so much larger than the biggest largemouth bass's brain, and our brains work and operate differently. When we get out there and we start overthinking what we're doing or overthinking the fish, it can cause you to overthink. And this episode is about fishing mental health. Don't drive yourself crazy. Keep it simple, stupid. Just KISS. KISS. We're going to talk about the mentality and we'll be right back. We've all been there. How many times have you been out on the lake or anywhere fishing and you're just having a bad day? You're stressed out. Maybe you're out there fishing, trying to relax, have fun, and you're thinking about bills or personal problems at home or whatever. There's a gander of things that can distract us when we're out there fishing, and it just compiles and adds on, and you have these negative fishermen out there. Maybe you met old Billy Ray. He was pulling his boat out. He was complaining, I've been out here 4 hours, fish ain't biting, haven't caught anything. Maybe the local news meteorologist said that the major bite was going to be at 5 a.m. and you getting out there at 7 a.m. and you're thinking, well, I done missed the bite. Maybe the fishing almanac says that day's going to be the worst day fishing. Maybe it's overcast. Maybe it's cold or whatever. We've all been there. We have that mentality to associate the negativity, and I recently came across a video on YouTube by the G-Man, Gerald Swindle, about positive mental attitude, and I'm trying that road, and I really need it. I really do. I mean, I have been known to have complete and total meltdowns out there. Tell you a little story. It's kind of humorous looking back on it. It was about this time last year. Me and my dad and my girlfriend went to a state park here locally, and it's a little small lake, but they have some very large bass in there. And the original idea was to rent one of their little flat bottom John boats and go out there and fish from the boat. Got out there and they told me that all the boats were rented out. They didn't have any boats available. We decided, well, we're there, we're gonna go ahead and fish anyway. And I am a real big on sight fishing. I love sight fishing. And from the bank that we ended up having to fish from because there were no boats available, I seen these rather large bass swimming around, cruising in the shallow waters close to where a freshwater creek ran in, feeding the lower lake. And there they were. I could see them. I mean, these were nice bass. They were probably in the 7, 8, 9 pound range, just cruising along. I knew if I could get my bait in front of them, if I could throw to the right spots and the right places, I could catch them. Well, long story short, the way that the bank was, there was overhanging trees there, and from one side, I couldn't get to the creek channel where the ledge was that I wanted to get to, where the creek channel came around the sandbar. Every time I throw out, I would get tangled up in either the overhanging or the bush and the trash on the bank. And after about the third backlash from a bait caster, I'm picking it out and I go to cast again. I'm going to try to flip it. And I got hung up on a little small shrubbling beside of me. And my worm wrapped. I had a complete and total meltdown because I'm looking across the lake. Here are two of their flat bottom John boats still sitting on the racks, not even being used. And I lost it. I'm snatching, I'm jerking, I'm trying to get my line loose. Ended up snapping a rod, a fairly expensive rod, snapped it, broke it, threw it, what was left of it, including my reel, out into the lake. Started karate chopping and trying to beat up the overhanging limbs and shrubs. Grabbed my other rod and reels off the bank, slung them into the lake. We're talking complete and total Iaconelli style meltdown. And I know it had to be funny to everybody watching. I mean, I'm a big boy. I'm 6'1", 225, and I'm out there having a absolute conniption fit. I'm telling you that story because it relates to the fishing mentality. Instead of concentrating and studying and trying to resolve how I can get to those fish, I was letting it frustrate me. I was letting it get to me, and it was just building up, and it was distracting me from my fishing. Eventually, what ended up happening was, of course, I had to go walking out into the lake to retrieve my rod and reels that I literally thrown into the lake, having a complete and total meltdown from frustration. Ended up getting very cold, very wet, and muddy. There's nothing as uncomfortable as trying to fish when you're cold, wet, and your toes are sloshing around inside of your shoes and wet socks on a February day. Needless to say, I didn't fish for very long. Ended up going home and caught nothing. Now, since I've been trying this whole new positive mental attitude over the last month and a half, 2 months, this past Monday, me and my dad, Pop, we got out on the lake this past Monday on President's Day, and we were doing some fishing at one of my favorite local spots. It's a swamp, and I'm fishing with a green pumpkin jig with a green pumpkin Havoc pit balls, and I'm throwing the stumps, and I get it. Bump, bump. I go to set the hook. The reel that I was using, I'm not going to name any company names, but the reel that I was using on that particular day, the drag had worked itself loose. I went for a hook set. My spool spun. Did not get a hook set. Locked the spool down with my thumb. Tried again for a hook set. Of course, missed the hook set. Got hung up. When that happened, I ended up breaking off one of my favorite jigs, and instead of having the complete and total meltdown that I would have had last year, I just calmly reeled the rest of my line in, walked to the back of my truck, put that rod and reel up, grabbed my spinning rod, went to a finesse rig, looked around, read the swamp, found a beautiful little spot with a natural little eddy right there on the bank where the water comes out of the swamp and feeds into the creek. I know I've been fishing that place for 40 years. I knew that there's a drop, a very deep drop off right there on the ledge, and I threw out there and I caught my first one. Long story short, I fished that same spot with mental clarity by remaining calm and collective and focused on my fishing. I ended up catching 7 bass and a rather large 4-pound bowfin. If you're not familiar with the bowfin, they are very fun to catch. They do put up a very good fight. They are kind of hard to get a hook set in because they are so tough and bony. But luckily, I always use X-point hooks with my soft plastics and was able to get a good positive hook set on the bowfin. But anyway, I digress. When we're out there on the water, we have a tendency to argue with ourselves and to second guess ourselves, second guess our position, and we're hurting ourselves with the negativity or the doubt or the arguing with oneself mentally. Are we throwing the right bait? Are we throwing the right color? Are we fishing in the right spot? When we are too busy arguing with ourselves mentally, we're not able to listen to the fish and hear what the fish are telling us. The bass is going to tell us, the fish period, regardless of what species you're fishing for, they will tell you what the pattern is. They will tell you what they want. They'll tell you the color that they want. A lot of times what happens when we start arguing with ourselves and second doubting ourselves on this stuff, we're too busy having those mental conversations and arguments to listen to the fish. And then therefore we miss the fish. We miss the opportunities to catch the fish. With the fishing is a very, very mental thing, but yet at the same time it is very simple. What I mean by it's very simple, a lot of people, they get hung up on the hunger bite. A lot of people think that the fish have a hunger bite. Yes, it is important that you do need to always match the hatch, as the saying goes. Look at what they're eating. Look at what they're mainly foraging on. You can do that number of ways. Like one of the fish that I caught, I posted pictures of its mouth on our Facebook page. It's Mike Bryant Fishing on Facebook. Find us on Facebook. Like it. Share it. Always doing cool stuff on there as well. But I posted a picture and even explained on Facebook how the red color of the upper lip and the red patches in the back of the throat means that they've been eating crawfish. Crawfish are high in iodine, and as your fish consume a lot of crawfish, they'll start getting those red blotches on the upper lip and tongue and back of the throat area. That is a good indication that they're eating crawfish. That's when your jig's gonna come in good, or any of your pack of crawls or pit bosses or anything that looks like a crawfish is gonna be your best bait. Also, look at your color. Go for your crawfish colors. The question, I know the question has been asked many a times. Me and my dad were talking about it just about a week or so ago. And I talked to a vet and extra researched it. And yes, the bass can see color. They can't tell you that red is red and blue is blue and 1 + 1 = 2. They don't learn that in bass school. But when the color of red is better, from the research that I've read, that they can distinguish red better because of the light spectrum. Well, if you fish a lot, you also know that red is one of the colors that dissipates and disappears the quickest. There's a fishing line out called Cajun Red. Very good line. I like it. I've used it quite a bit in the past, but it actually disappears. I think it's like 3 feet of water. But this time of the year, when you're talking pre-spawn and spawn fishing, they're going to be in the shallows anyway. But a lot of people get hung up on the hunger strike, and when they get to getting into the fishing forecast and all that, that they can you can really psych yourself out on, well, I've missed the catch because I've done missed a major bite. People, I promise you, bass have three bites or three strikes. They have the hunger bite. That is when they're hungry. They have big mouths and they love to eat, especially spring and summer when the water temperature starts coming up. Their body temperature starts to increase, which increases their metabolism. They're going to eat more often in that little sweet spot of around 80 degree when the water temperatures are anywhere in the low 70s to low 80s. That is their sweet spot. Their metabolism is the highest at that point, 85 and 90 degree ranges. They're going to start becoming a little more lethargic and going back into your deeper waters and going into your thermoclines. But even if you cannot get the hunger strike, you can either get the territorial defensive strike or the defensive bite, and that comes from the bass actually protecting their territory. Larger bass are very territorial. This is their corner of the lake. This is their lay down. This is their stump, whatever, their rock pile. They become very territorial over that. They do not want trespassers invading their territory. You can trigger a defensive strike or a territorial bite from that fish trying to move your bait from its stump, from its rock pile. Another one that is the most effective bite is what is referred to as the reaction strike or the reaction bite. This is triggered by the bass's natural aggressive behavior. The largemouth bass is a very aggressive apex predator. Unless you're fishing in a lake where there's an abundance of alligators, the largemouth bass is pretty much king of the lake. Let's put this into perspective. The reason that I say that is that a largemouth bass is able to eat something 25 to 35% of its body size. So put that into perspective, a 14 inch largemouth bass can swallow and eat a 10 inch bass. Kind of like Pac-Man, for those of you who are old enough to remember Pac-Man. So they're very aggressive, and when you trigger that reaction strike, it is basically aggravation or just instinct that you get it right there in front of them, and you trigger that reaction strike. Myself personally, I have found the best method for me to trigger the reaction strike is to either finesse fish very slow, keeping it right there at them, and just ticking them off where it comes right by their face and they just react to it and chomp down on it. And another way that I've found personally best way to trigger reaction strike is using red. I don't know if it is they simulate that with blood or injured prey or whatever, but in my experience, the color red has always been more apt for me to trigger that reaction strike. And especially one of my favorites is a red spinnerbait. Get it out there, you get the vibration and the thump from your Colorado blade, you get the flash from your willow blade. you want the combination of thump and flash. Rattle traps also work good if they're triggering a reaction strike. And the reason that, in my opinion, that your rattle traps, your double knockers, any kind of rattling crankbait that makes a noise and makes a vibration increases your chance of triggering the reaction strike is because the lateral line on a bass. The lateral line on a largemouth bass is kind of, in a nutshell, redneck version, simplifying it, keeping it simple, is hundreds, maybe even thousands of tiny little ears on the side of that bass. And these things are so sensitive that they can actually pick up and feel the vibration. They can identify through the vibration traveling into their lateral lines. They can distinguish size, distance, speed, and they can kind of process that. That is the bass's sixth sense. I read an article one time back in the early 1990s, I believe it was, that the bass could actually feel the vibration of a rattle trap from a mile away. Now, you think about that. If that research is correct, that largemouth bass can feel the vibration of a rattle trap, Bill Lewis rattle trap, from a mile away. Imagine what is going on in that bass's mind, in the mind of that bass that's holding that stump, trying to stay up on that stump for warmth, radiating through the stump from the sun, or just hanging out in the shade, depending on the season and pattern. But could you imagine how that bass is going to start feeling after a while with that? Constantly. It's going to agitate them. It's going to make them mad. It is going to trigger that reaction strike. Remember, they don't have a fist that they can reach out there and stop it, quit. Their automatic instinct is, well, I'm going to stop it, I'm going to swallow it, I'm going to eat it. So you end up triggering that reaction strike from that bass because of that vibration. But anyway, I kind of ramblings of a madman sometimes on this podcast. You'll definitely be entertained, and hopefully I can inform you at the same time. But anyway, you've got to have that positive attitude. Just because you missed the bite, or the weather conditions are bad, or not everything fell into place like you'd hoped it would, stay positive. You know, when you miss a fish, you miss that hook set, or you get broke off, or whatever, don't look at it that you lost it. Look at it that, hey, I found one, I'm going to keep fishing this spot. And once you find that spot, you fish that spot. You fish that spot like it's the best spot in the world. And you just keep going with it. It's all about confidence. You got to have confidence in yourself. Don't be cocky. Don't be that guy that nobody likes. We all know that guy that thinks he is the greatest fisherman that ever walked the face of the earth. He could outfish Kevin Van Dam or Skeet Reese or whoever. He thinks he is the greatest fisherman of all times. We all know this guy, unfortunately. Don't be him. There is a difference between cocky and confident. Be confident in yourself. Be confident in your equipment. Be confident in your rod. Be confident in your reel. Be confident in the bait that you're using, the color that you're using, and stay focused. Don't let the world, or the what I like to refer to as water politics, rattle you and distract you. Kevin Van Dam is one of the greatest pro anglers of all time. He has won more money than anyone else in history. But a lot of the reason is because Kevin Van Dam's positive mental attitude. He doesn't let it rattle him. I know it's hard not to do sometimes. Sometimes you're just going to get rattled. That's life. That's the way it is. But keep a positive mental attitude and keep fishing. Fish to your confidence. Fish to your abilities. You know, don't worry about Billy Ray or Joe Bob over there catching these fish. You work on you. Don't get distracted and go off trying to fish 20 different spots in the next hour. Break it down. Find the pattern. Fish it. Once you hit that school, even if they're dinks, fish it like it's the best spot in the world. You pulling up dinks, you pulling up little half pounders, one pounders. Just adjust. Adjust to your left, adjust to your right, maybe fish a little bit deeper. Throw over a little bit more. Open up your pattern, but stay right there where you're catching the dinks. I guarantee you there are bigger ones there with the dinks. You just may have to adjust a little bit. Do not get inside of your head too much and overthink the fish. Fish in the moment. Fish in the here and now. There's a clothing company out there, fishing apparel company, I guess you could say, called 5x3. I'm not a big fan of their clothing line, but that's neither here nor there. But I do love the 5x3 no excuses. It means 5 fish by 3 o'clock, no excuses. Fish in the moment. Don't worry about this next spot. Don't worry about the next 3 spots that you're going to hit. Fish that spot. Fish the spot that you're at. Fish it like it's the greatest spot in the world. And fish it with confidence. The reason that you decided to throw the color that you're throwing, or throwing the bait that you're throwing, is because you have confidence in that bait, or maybe you just had a gut feeling to fish that particular bait in that particular color at that particular location. That is confidence. A guy asked me one time, and I'm going to give y'all a couple of seconds after I asked to think about it and answer this question. What is the bait that you catch the most fish on? What is the bait that you catch the most fish on? Think about that for a second. I got that answer wrong too. I said Zoom Black Finesse. Zoom Black Finesse. Old man, he just looked at me and he said, "That's what you throw the most, ain't it?" I said, "Yes, sir. That's what I throw the most." He said, "That's what you catch the most fish on." The bait that you fish the most is the bait that you're going to catch the most fish with. Kind of deep, huh? Let that sink in. Think about that. If you're throwing that bait 90% of the time, that is what you're catching 90% of your fish with. Correct? So, later on, another episode, we're gonna break that down a little bit deeper into baits and hard baits, crank baits versus soft baits. We'll break that down. We're gonna discuss a lot of other little things throughout the podcast. Like this podcast, listen to it, share it, tell your friends about it, support us. Follow us on Facebook. We're also on Twitter and Instagram. You can find us on all those formats, as well as YouTube. Haven't been able to post many videos lately on YouTube. I'm planning to work on that and heat YouTube up with a lot more videos come this spring. But follow us on our other social media platforms. And you can find all that at Mike Bryant Fishing. Want to give a quick shout out to my sponsors. If you're not familiar with some of these sponsors, check them out. I'm a proud member of X Point Fishing Team. X Point is a TTI Blakemore company. Same makers that make the True Turn, the Dahachis, Real Magic, and Roadrunner, and other great products. The X Point hook is amazing. I've been using it since 1995, so what's that, almost 24 years now that I've been using it. My hookup ratio is astonishing because of the superb penetration power of their 110 carbon hooks. Like the name implies, X Point, that point on that hook is like a broadhead. Check them out. Also want to give a shout out to Six Gill Fishing. Check them out. Great company, great rod and reels, great products, great customer service. Check out their selection at sixgillfishing.com. And also check out our other sponsor, Titan Tungsten, a company out of Lake Guntersville, Alabama, making great tungsten weights. Got some really great designs, small, low profile. They have all your weight needs, warm weights, pitching weights, drop shot weights. We've got a new Pro Series drop shot coming out. Should be online today. Check them out. Great products, great people. And that is at titantungsten.com. And just tune in and check us out, follow us, and until next time, I want to wish everybody happy fishing and tight lines, my friends, and take a kid fishing.